Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, Faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with everybody today. And, you know, the 49ers just wrapped up their first practice after the second preseason game, getting ready for preseason game number three. More injuries, sadly. That hate to hear that, but that's what it is. We're going to go over the nothing major, so chill out. Like, we're okay. These are bumps and bruises at this point. And more positives. Mike Evans taking part in team drills. I think that's huge. Jordan James is back. One running back at a time, baby. The 49ers running back room is getting a little bit more healthy. I think that is huge. Kalen Black came back last week. Now you got Jordan James. Still no CMC. Dominique Pooney's back from his concussion. That's awesome. And CJ West as well. So that is four players that are back at practice. You have to love that. This is episode 1702 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. I have to say thank you to David Gill, 49ers George 365, Corey Robbins, executive producers of today's show. And as always, the chat, you guys are bumping. Monkey was in here first with the hashtag CC, standing for the countdown crew. Appreciate everybody. What's up, Hugo, Dave? Appreciate you guys. That's right. Weekend show, baby. And right here, Jason. He says 15 looks amazing. Yes, he does. The tape was incredible. Blocking improving, routes improving, separation improving. The hands are great. Did drop that one perfect pass from Mac Jones. That could have been a touchdown. But overall, the grand scheme of things, Dejon Stribling, better than advertised, right? I can be very honest. I was so high on him. Rush Crush, one of 13 players. He was still ranked. You know, I had a third-round grade on him. I had him going, you know, I think it was like our 45th overall player. Niners took him 33. They were way higher than we were. And, man, who would have guessed this would take place through training camp? All those different things. If you redrafted right now, where would he go? Right? Jordan Tyson went top 10. That dude's out for a while. Injury-prone, that shows up again. And now, to be fair, Dejon Stribling did not practice today. He's got a shoulder issue. It is considered day to day. So yes, 15 looks amazing, but some bumps and bruises. They're protecting him. They're going along with this process slow. And I could just see no way in the world, the starting wide receivers week one in Australia, which we're going to be at. Hopefully you guys come out and party with us. The three wide receivers are going to be Mike Evans, Dejon Stribling, and Debo. Those are your three. DeMarcus Robinson to be your four. Who's going to be the 5 and 6? Probably going to be Jacob Cowing. Probably going to be Jordan Watkins. Christian Kirk, you know, maybe he gets that IR designated to return, which, you know, the new update is you get two players that you can designate to return. That counts against your 8 return players from IR throughout the course of the season. You get one more in the playoffs. But Christian Kirk looks like he's going to be one of those guys where you just start on IR. He still hasn't practiced, didn't practice today. I don't see how you put him on the 53-man roster. I just don't see that. Now, yeah, Dejon Stribling is now on the day-to-day. So is D'Amador Lenore, who I thought played really, really well with another shoulder injury. Day-to-day, not long-term. I'm not overly concerned about either of these. It's not panic time in the injury realm for 49ers. I'm sure that will take place at some point, but we're not there yet. Not there yet. Renardo Green, hamstring. Hamstring a day, 49ers way. Robert Jones still not practicing. I think he's going to retire. Still no Kittle, still no Bosa. And Christian McCaffrey was out there going through, you know, he's working out, going through his routine, but not in pads. So the injury updates, all right. There's some good ones. There's some bad ones. Jordan James back. Dominique Pooney back. CJ West back. Mike Evans continues to practice in team. That is huge. That is huge. Love this. What's up, Yatsik, my man? Hey, Faithful. I love it. Rick Torres in the house. Love it. Joel. Man, we got people coming in from everywhere. I love it. Look at this. NY Niners. He says, making my Saturday complete. You know, I've been working. We got the second and third quarter breakdowns done today. That was a several hour process. Those are up on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon channel. So you've got the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, every offensive play, every defensive play, every special teams play. Those are up right now to go watch. Coaching tape, end zone tape, all 22. That is there. We break it down for you. I've got some updates on some players, evaluations from those. We still got the fourth quarter. I'll get that done tomorrow. And also, you know, this is huge. We have our Zoom hangout that we do every single year for the Jerry Rice tier and up. This upcoming Saturday, a week from today, this is our 53-man roster prediction show. Now, it's behind a paywall. We do a monthly Zoom hangout. Come join us. 7-day free trial. You sign up today, you get to come. You get to come. 7 days. Check it out. You like it? Stick around. That's how I feed the family. The 49ersrush.com or our Patreon channel and the link in the description of this video. Next Saturday, 1 week from today, 2 p.m. Pacific. Remember, they bumped up the 53-man cut down from used to always be on Tuesday. Now it is on Sunday. So that's why we got to, you know, change everything and whatever else. But join us next Tuesday. Or sorry. Next Saturday at 2 p.m. Pacific time. It's going to be awesome. Can't wait, can't wait. I'm going to be taking all my notes. Love it. CMC, they're just resting. What's up, Phil? Appreciate you, man. But, you know, if you're one of those tinfoil hat wearers, a little reminiscent of two off seasons ago where Christian McCaffrey was out there a lot with the tendonitis and all that stuff, I feel way more confident this year because I've seen it. I've seen Christian McCaffrey go through team back-to-back days. I've seen Christian McCaffrey look like he has more burst and more speed than he did the last two offseasons. I've seen that. Now, some tightness and whatever else. I think CMC looks good. I think that they're just resting and playing on the precautious side because he's so important, and you don't want to overwork him. And now that you're getting back Kalen Black, now that you're getting back Jordan James, man, let those guys get the reps with the ones. Why not? Yeah, I want Christian McCaffrey back. Yeah, I want Bosa back. Yeah, I want Kittle back. Yeah, I want. Yes, we all do. But I'm thankful that this, you know, I'm not a fan of the health and strength coach staff at all. Perry, awful. I don't know how you get promoted up through the ranks through 10 years of the horror that this 49ers franchise has been through with injuries. But I'm glad they're being a little more precautious. That is a good thing. Logan, y'all think Stripling going to start week one? Yeah, he might not be out there on the first rep. I think he's going to be the big slot. I think, you know, you come out in two wide receiver sets, it's going to be Evans and Debo. Three wide receiver sets, Evans, Debo, Strib. And then you're going to have Jordan Watkins rotating through. You might even have Stripling playing some X. And you've already seen that, right? So through two preseason games, you have seen Stripling take snaps at the X, the Z, and the F. I completely see that continuing. The fact that they loaded him up with so much I don't like, the positive is sometimes player can get it all. You look at Stripling. Sometimes a player can't. You look at Romello Hype. Gave him too much. Talked about it today. Yeah, he's showing progress at the press conference. Raheem Morris, he's showing progress and he's showing strides in practice. Hasn't translated to in the game yet for Romello Hype. But that's the thing. You give these rookies so much, not all of them can handle it. I'm not sure Romello Hype could, 25-year-old rookie, you're hoping, but it's a new scheme, and you've got him practicing multiple positions. Don't like that. Stripling picked it up. Romello Hype didn't. It's kind of the way it goes. Kind of the way it goes. What's up, Law of All? Appreciate you, man. Yeah, right here, Logan. Imagine if Ricky Pearsall and Stripling were actually on the field together. You will see it at some point. And, you know, Ricky Pearsall had his surgery. He's making videos now. That's what he does. Hopefully he gets better. It just stays in a positive mindset because you need Ricky Pearsall. You still got 2 years left on his rookie deal, plus that fifth-year option, which right now you sure as hell aren't picking that up, but you'll deal with that after next year. Maybe Ricky returns to the guy that never missed a game in college. Maybe. We can hope. The future is bright. Debo's back on a one-year deal. Allow Debo to do what he does. Put Ricky Pearsall right back in the Z role. See what you got. See what you got. What's up, Bid? Appreciate you, man. From down under, week one can't come soon enough. Let's go, bang bang, baby. We will be out there with you. If you're going to party in Australia. Whether you're a local or flying out there, join us, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. We're going to be out there, man. We got events galore for that week, and I am super excited about it. Right here, Yatsik, appreciate you, man. Do we know if Black can be a good receiving threat out of the backfield? No, we do not. Haven't seen it last year in Indiana. You can go back to James Madison three years ago. Had about 30 receptions. Nothing too promising. You don't see an advanced route tree from a running back often, but that was like the most simplified routes run by Kalen Black with George Madison. Then he transfers with the exact same coaching staff to Indiana. They phase him completely out. So he's been with the same running back coach. He's been with the same head coach, offensive play caller, his entire five-year college career. They phased him out of that. The positive for Kalen Black, he could pass pro like a mamma jamma. So you'd use him in the receiving game, but it's to protect the quarterback. And so that will allow him to be out there. Can he run the routes? Can he catch? We'll see. I've seen him make some plays at training camp that were decent. Nobody's going to mistake him from CMC at all, but can he bring a little bit more than Jordan Mason did in that area? Brock Purdy refused to throw the ball to Jordan Mason whenever he was wide open that one year, right? Is the trust factor there with 13? That's a big deal.
I'm from Texas, and one of the worst things that could ever happen is whenever it's dinner time and you don't have what you need for the dinner for the family. And so I'm a big steak, barbecue, you name it, grill out. That's what I love. And that's why I use Omaha Steaks. So whether it's a rushed weeknight or a Saturday cookout, you can have quality protein on hand when you need it. Ribeyes for special occasion, juicy burgers for a cookout, grilling chicken, seafood, gourmet Franks. Omaha Steaks has what you want. Plus, they now have sides, desserts, and more. So a great dinner is minutes away. And the best thing about it is, it's steakhouse quality without the steakhouse prices. There's no more last-minute run-its to the store. It arrives vacuum-sealed, frozen, ready to go. And if you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect introduction. For just $79.99, you get 20 premium steak burgers crafted from five distinct cuts of steak. You get four filet mignon burgers, four New York strip burgers, four ribeye burgers, four brisket burgers, four sirloin burgers. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, you get $35 off with the promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
We haven't seen it. It has not been put on display yet. Now, we do know Jordan James does do that. That is one of his specialties, right? So you're looking at this competition for a running back too, whatever. Man, it would be great to have two serviceable backups that can go out there and get the job done. The first game take that we have of Kalen Black was awesome. 8 carries, 33 yards. Blitz pickup was definitely the multiple blitz pickups, and pass protection was the highlight. We'll see. But, you know, one of the biggest question marks going into this year was I wanted more veteran depth at the running back position. They didn't do that. It's hurt them to this point, but the season hasn't started yet. If Kalen Black and Jordan James are at 100% now, that would be awesome. For 2 weeks from now, if Christian McCaffrey's out there, if you ain't got Christian McCaffrey, you're in trouble. And you need to get out there and you need to start trading whatever. But I don't see that being the case. What's up, Darren? Appreciate you, man. Always good to see you. What's up, Sean? Love it. And McCormick has looked good. Khalil Herbert has looked good. Like, Zamir White looked decent. Like, they're not guys that you want on the 53-man roster or that you have to rely on for carries or to start. It's looking good for a run game that was putrid last year during the regular season. Run game sucked. Worst it's been in Kyle Shanahan era. Why? Starts with your center, the left guard. You're missing one of the best blocking tight ends for a large portion of the season. You're missing the downfield threat at wide receivers so they can load the boxes. Christian McCaffrey lost a step. All those things kind of compounded into, yeah, the run game not too good. But so far through preseason, run game's not looking bad. I don't I would be very happy if they kept Sincere McCormick, and he's making special teams plays too. I don't think he's a 53-man guy. I think this is a guy you cut on the initial 53, and then you bring to the practice squad and elevate if somebody's not healthy. I have no problem with your 53-man roster having Christian McCaffrey, Jordan James, Kalen Black, Kyle Juszczyk, those being your four. No issues there. And then you save one of those spots for the running back that you usually keep five. You keep an extra tight end, linebacker, wide receiver, whatever. I don't think he makes a 53, but I think he stays a 49er, and I hope so. Tommy, the resident Longhorn hater, he says, Alfred Collins looked better Thursday, Jonathan. You spelled my name right. Good job. Yeah, he did look better. Not as many bad plays. Still not the splash plays, but this is the trajectory we've seen of Alfred Collins in the past coming off of a surgery, right? It's a slow ramp up. And if he can continue moving forward, you got to be happy as a space eater. And to be honest with you, like, they're playing a lot of these rookies' defensive tackles in areas that they're not going to be used in. You got Alfred Collins out there on third and 13. That's not what he does. That's not what they do. That's not what Bryson Easton does. James Thompson does that. You put him out there on third and long. But they're just letting these guys get reps and develop and, you know, all these different things. We'll figure that out. Jason, big concern is the tight end position without Kittle out there. What's your take on that? Dude, I mean, so some movement. The 49ers brought back priority free agent Khalil Dinkins, who they did an injury settlement with. He lived out the length of that injury settlement, got paid a little bit. They brought him back. Had him in for a workout. They got him back today. We're not sure the subsequent move there. I wouldn't be shocked if it's Robert Jones retiring. Just conjecture on my part. I have no inside sources. Anyway, whatever. But I will say Braydon Willis played really well, consistently well. Khalil Dinkins added to that is huge. And Hayden Rucci hasn't been bad either. I think if you had to cut a tight end, probably Josiah DeGura, 47. He's made some special teams play. He hasn't been terrible, but Khalil Dinkins' upside is huge as basically an extra right tackle. Like, he is that blocking guy that could be out there. Now, has not practiced with the Niners through OTAs, did not practice through training camp. That injury was huge. They paid him the most money of any priority free agent, him and James Thompson Jr. Like, those are the two guys that they're like, these are the guys we want. Tight end's one of the hardest things to jump from college to the NFL level. He hasn't had the reps. Now he's getting those reps. This is a long-term play. I do not expect Khalil Dinkins to make the 53 at all. I think that he is a practice squad guy, and that's kind of the way priority free agency works with that guaranteed money, about $280,000 worth. Basically, they're saying we're fully guaranteeing your entire rookie year on the practice squad. We're going to pay it up front. So stay with us. Now, if somebody signs you to the 53-man roster, all right, cool. We get that, but that's kind of where that is. So stay with that. Tommy, great that both starting corners are injured. Yeah, where is Storm and Norman? No, we're not doing that. But, like, all right, cool. Jack Jones stepped up, played awesome. Who's going to be the other corner? Do you move Upton Stout to outside now? Jacob Robinson then comes your nickel. He played really, really good there. Probably a little too spicy for that. Or do you just let your outside corners be Jack Jones, Darrell Luter Jr., and keep Upton Stout where he is in the nickel? I'm fine. How do I say that? It's not even just the top two corners. Really, you could throw Nate Hobbs in there too. Stacking injuries is the death penalty in the NFL. Whenever you have your top four running backs injured, that's a problem. When you have your top three cornerbacks injured, that's a problem. When you have your top three defensive ends injured, that's a problem. The Niners have done all those things this offseason. It's not the number of injuries. It's the stacking of injuries at the same position. Now, the good news, we don't know about Renardo Green. Demo, I'm not overly concerned about. Nate Hobbs would like him to get back at some point. I mean, a strength can turn into a weakness quick as hell. I hate it. But yeah, we'll see what happens there. Ben, Duggar's been beyond impressive. He's having the whole defense thrown at him, handling it all. He's playing everything. And, you know, I only wrote down one quote from the Raheem Morris interview was asked about Jalen Duggar. He said the best players will be out there, and he's finding his role. He's playing Will. He's playing Sam. He's playing both those spots. He's playing special teams. I want him at that Sam number three backer spot. That's, I mean, you got Dre Greenlaw at Will, Fred Warner at Mike. I want those to be the first three linebackers out there. Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, Jalen Duggar. That's what I want. Now, Nick Martin has been awesome, too. He just continues to ascend. The splash plays are coming. It's triggering quicker and quicker each week. He's just so close to making highlight reel plays. But Jalen Duggar, I want football IQ in that spot. He continues to demonstrate that at an insane level. And you saw it again where there's some confusion out there. He's trying to get the D-line lined up right. He's yelling at him, slide over a gap, slide over a gap, slide over a gap. They don't do it. He runs through a blocker, makes a tackle. Like, he's just doing his damn job. The zone drops are great. The pressure's great. The run game, like, consistency. The football IQ's coming across like crazy. A huge Jalen Duggar fan. I did not think I would see the growth of what he put on tape at Louisiana to what he is now. He was a projection player that picked it up like that. That's rare. That is rare. And yeah, Nick Martin, I think he's pretty damn good. I really, really do. I like this quote. Black can pass pro like a mamma jamma. That's right, man. You heard it here first. Stefan, thanks for the super chat. Why does Brendel end up on the ground after plays? He does a lot, man. One, you don't have to work anymore when you're on the ground. That might be a part of it. He could stop, turn around, and watch, which he does that a lot. The balance, I don't know. He's one of the most athletic centers out there. But yeah, like, we got the full Brendel experience in the 12 plays that he played where, you know, you run up the middle on third and short, and he doesn't touch one player. Somehow he slips between two defensive tackles and two linebackers, ends up on the ground without touching one defender. Like, how is that possible on third and one right up the middle? That's what he does. You get to watching the plays. But he also had some good plays, good pass pro. And the very first run play, I think, he blocked two guys. So it's just, you're getting the Brendel experience. Don't expect it to change. Luke Farrell looks terrible, says Let's Talk Podcast. He had some negatives, had a lot of positives too. I didn't think Luke Farrell looked bad. I didn't think he looked good. You saw a little bit of everything, kind of like Brendel. Like, those two are starters? Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm with you there. Let's see here. Got to keep those rookie DTs. I agree. I think that they keep all six. I think you might keep seven. That is a position that you just keep. I'm keeping all the defensive tackles. I 100% keeping. All right, let's go through it. 100% keeping Osa, 100% keeping CJ West, 100% keeping Grayson Halton, 100% keeping Alfred Collins. Now there's three guys on the bubble: Bryson Easton, James Thompson Jr., Sebastian Valdez, and that's my order. If I got to switch up something, I'd go James Thompson Jr., Bryson Easton, Sebastian Valdez. Sebastian Valdez last for me. James Thompson Jr., Bryson Easton have been way more consistent than Seabass. I want to keep all seven. I really do. Now, Sebastian Valdez has, I think that he's the least likely to be claimed because he's been through the practice squad for 2 years now and nobody's ever claimed him. James Thompson Jr. has put up some consistent tape. Now, here's my film notes on those two, okay? I want to talk about these. Bryson Easton has the higher floor and way more consistent. James Thompson Jr. has the higher ceiling but loses the ball way too often. There were three plays in the second and third quarter where James Thompson is chasing a counter or a fake, and the ball's not even over there. Like, he turns and runs and chases this, you know, just outside kind of zone bootleg. He's chasing the ball carrier who ain't got the ball like 6-7 steps. He turns around like, oh, damn, the quarterback still got the ball. He did that three times. And he's a high player that peaks a lot. And so now the flip side to this is James Thompson Jr. has sniffed out screens and, like, he's anticipatory defensive tackle, which you don't see a lot. Negative showed up on tape this time. So ceiling, James Thompson Jr. Highest floor, Bryson Easton. I counted the very first negative play through two preseason games. Bryson Easton had one negative play. Now, they're not all positive or whatever else, and sometimes defensive tackle is just like a wash play. But he had one negative. James Thompson Jr. had three negatives. Sebastian Valdez had about six. Consistency is everything. The splash plays, that's where Sebastian Valdez is going to show up. That's where James Thompson Jr. is going to show up. I want consistency. That's why my pecking order from those three, Bryson Eason, James Thompson Jr., then Sebastian Valdez. I hope they keep seven. I would keep seven defensive tackles and four defensive ends on the initial 53, right? So my defensive ends, Nick Bosa, Keon White, Romello Heights, Sam O. Those are the four I'm keeping. I'm putting Mikael Williams, he's on PUP to come back. You're going to need one of the guys to come through, whether that's Okronkwo, Quinnen Bell, Victor Dimekeji, like one of those guys slips through waivers, bring them back, elevate them for week one. So you got your rotation. That's your five defensive ends for, you know, week one, which not legendary. But if you're telling me Nick Bosa, Keon White, Sam O, and, you know, Romello Heights getting some pass rush snaps, that's what I'm projecting. Keep seven defensive tackles, four defensive ends. That's the 11 that they usually keep. Maybe six and four. I'm not keeping five D ends. Ogbo Okoronkwo has been consistent, but not valuable enough to like, oh man, I'm worried somebody's going to get him. That's just me. So yeah, can't let these guys go, those undrafted free agents. Yeah. Good defensive tackle depth, defensive end depth, not so good. Well said. Now, what is well said, who doesn't like free bets? Oh, what? Want to start football season off with a bet that feels like it can't miss? The MyBookie Lock of the Season is back, and the first one is an absolute no-brainer. With the Patriots in Seattle for the NFL kickoff, MyBookie is asking one simple question. Will the Seahawks raise the banner that night? Of course they will. They're the defending champs. It's their home opener. The entire game is designed around raising the banner, and they've already talked about doing it that night. So you're getting plus money odds right now on MyBookie.ag. You're getting paid to say yes. That's all you got to do. So that's the first MyBookie lock of the season. There's going to be a lot more all season long, and you should be betting with us. We post our weekly bets over at the49ersrush.com and our Patreon page. We show you how much, what to bet, and where. We've done very well. Major profits 7 out of 8 seasons since we've been doing this. So get in before kickoff of the first NFL game at mybookie.ag with promo code 49ers. That's 49ERS. And on addition to that, you get a bet back bonus from $50 to $500. You opt in whenever you're ready for that. And if you miss the bet, if you don't get it right, you get all the money credited right back to you with a one-time rollover industry best. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere. And I mean anywhere. Yes, you can bet in California with MyBookie. Go check it out. MyBookie. All right, right here, Jan says, if undrafted rookies are outplaying C.J. West and Alfred Collins, can we fire Kucerik at some point? One, that ain't happening. Chris Kucerik is a Kyle Shanahan guy. That loyalty program runs deep. I think Kucerik's a good coach. Haven't really seen the development of players since he's been here. He's kind of at his best with back end of guys like Kerry Hyder Jr., Sam O., those style players, Kevin Givens. I'm not a fire Kucerik guy, but I do not hold, I think he's one of the highest paid positional coaches in the NFL. I don't hold him to that regard either. But to your first part of your question, CJ West and Alfred Collins haven't been practicing. They've been injured. So it's not like they're out playing them. Bryson East and James Thompson Jr. have been healthy. They have been practicing nonstop. I don't think that they are out playing them. And I think that they priority free agents is probably the right place. Maybe James, you know, maybe both those guys could have been drafted at all, but CJ West hasn't played. Alfred Collins, his very first practice was right before the first preseason game. Like it just takes time. And we saw this with CJ West and Alfred Collins last year. CJ West was like MVP of the defensive line last year through training camp, gets injured. When he first came back, he was terrible. It takes a long time for these linemen, especially young players, to get back to game situations. So I disagree with the premise that the undrafted guys are outplaying West and Collins. West and Collins just haven't been playing. They just started playing. So you got to be a little bit more patient with that. And I'm not a Fire Kucerov guy. I'm not like, you know, some people hold him to the highest regard ever. I'm not one of those guys either. Right here, will the Niners keep Zamir White? No, they won't. He did show some promising tape, but practice squad's kind of what you're looking for there. And yeah, Logan, this is huge. Man, it really hurt when Kamara got hurt. I could have used him. He looked good. I was there at the practice. He got carted off after one-on-ones. Sucks, man. Maybe get him back next year. But yeah, defensive ends are an issue. There's no doubt about that. Now you're hoping the answer comes inside the room. Nick Bosa comes back. Mikel comes back. Now Keon White is back practicing. So you're hoping that's what it is. But that's a major problem in the entirety of the NFL. Defensive end, teams don't have that. There are a few teams that just bank draft picks at that position. Baltimore Ravens, the Eagles, the Seattle Seahawks. That works out well for them. It works out well for them. But yeah, that's kind of where it is. Right here, Dan. What's up, my man? Dan the man. John, what would you do for a new left guard? What would you do for a new left guard? Hey, it works. I might get sued. Klondike, I like your ice cream. Please don't sue me. Actually, I don't. I'm not a big fan. I don't pick Klondike bars. But I'm not a panicker, right? With certain things I am. I think Connor Colby's fine. I think Carver Willis can get to fine. Connor Colby completely outplayed him again, two games in a row. Like, I miss me with the Carver Willis is better now. I don't believe that. Carver Willis is better in the run game now. Pass game, still major issue. And the problem, like, you know, yesterday's show, I finished the first quarter whenever I went live and talked about, you know, the update, Connor Colby and Carver Willis. Austin Pleasance cannot play there ever again. Like, maybe give him time, but he's going to need months of preparation to play guard for the Niners. He was so terrible. But Connor Colby's way better, way more consistent. I would be okay with that. I'm not in love with it. I don't want to trade for a guard. One, the 49ers ain't going to trade for a guard. Maybe they will, but they have never spent premium draft capital. They traded back in the second round, took Aaron Banks one time. That did not work out well. I don't think they're going to do it again. I think they're just going to kind of see what happens between, you know, Brett Toth. Maybe if he ever gets healthy, we'll step in and try to compete there. But it's going to be Connor Colby and Carver Willis. And if you got to run with Carver Willis, Brock Purdy's going to take some unnecessary hits. No doubt about it. Like, that is a major, major issue. But you go with consistency, and Connor Colby's more consistent. It's just what it is. Now, right here, Monkey, you know, he says, you said that Willis will hopefully be the future at center. When we get to the goal line, would he be great to put in for a punch on specific plays, take Brindle out there? People don't like rotating centers. It messes up with the cadence, the snap, the quarterback exchange. It just doesn't happen often. I love the idea, and I'm not a Jake Brindle guy, so I think everybody understands that. Yeah, I don't know, man. Carver Willis will be a starter in this league in the near future. He could start this year, possibly at guard. And like, I hope they rotate the guys. If I had it my way, I would give Connor Colby two series, Carver Willis one, and I'd rotate that way throughout the entire freaking thing until there's a clearly defined, and that's what it might look like. We've seen Chris Forster do this before. Remember Tom Compton and Jalen Moore, like Daniel Brunskill did that as well. Like, he's done that before. And once it's clear, you just roll with that. Carver Willis still really, really far, guys. He's just not consistent. He's not consistent. He is not consistent. Right here, Jan says, not sure Willis is that much better. He's 1,000 times better in the run game. Carver Willis put up 3 blocks this preseason game that would way better than what Jake Brindle's ever done in the run game. Like, I'm not exaggerating either. Like, he gets movement. Jake Brindle has the worst functional strength of any center in the NFL. He's an athletic guy. He's a smart guy. Carver Willis run blocks look badass. Like, go watch the clips, man. Now, pass pro, major difference. Carver Willis sucks at best pro still. He is anchoring a little bit. Ron Burgundy, but not near as much as what it looks like. Oh, right here, Jarrett Kingston. Remember him? Looks like he's on the outside looking in the Texas roster. Do they grab him off waivers? They cut him last time. Do you bring him back? I mean, if he can't make the Texans roster, he does fit us, and I liked him. They liked him too. But if you bring him back to the practice squad and see if he can compete, but still, man, that's rough. I like Connor Colby more than I like Jarrett Kingston. I just do. Right here, could Pooney play left? He's never taken snaps there for the 49ers. He could, but they won't. They would rather have somebody next to Trent Williams to get that added bonus. Don't mess with what works. Dominic Pooney's awesome at right guard. They ain't changing that. right there, Aaron. John, you might get sued, but I'm not sure if it's for issuing a cease and desist with that singing. Boy, I got tone. No, I don't. I'm terrible. I know. All right. Let's see here. Dan, thanks for super chat. Nailed the Klondike reference. I thought it was just for me. No, man, dude, A+. You set me up, and we'll get it done. We'll get it done right here. What's a bold prediction for the 53-man roster? Ooh. All right. Let me pull up the old spreadsheet here. One of those tight ends is making it. I think Braden Willis makes the 53-man roster. I think Braden Willis does. I think Charlie Kirk's going to wind up as an IR designated to return. Defensively, one of those linebackers got to go. You can't keep 6-7 linebackers. You can keep 6, can't keep 7. That means Tatum Bethune is on the outside looking in, and that just ain't right. You got to trade somebody. Ugh. Ugh. Ashton Davis going to make the 53? That might be that's bold. That's spicy. I think Ashton Davis going to make the 53-man roster. Making plays out there on special teams, playing both safety spots, consistently doing okay. His PFF grade was terrible, but film wasn't bad. Made a couple negatives, but, dude, special teams. I think the 49ers could have a top 5 special teams unit. I think that's possible. Did I say it again? Damn it. I've done that like 3 times. Christian Kirk. Sorry about that. I'm such a jackass. I don't do it on purpose. I'm just an idiot. You guys know that. dude, I think the 49ers could have a top 5 special teams group. They have, dude, you're talking Gifford. Nick Martin's looking really good out there. Tatum Bethune's looking really good out there. Ciaran Neal's back to looking like what he's supposed to look like. Dude. Darrell Luter Jr. playing quality special teams. What? Dude, there's a Ephesians Price. I want to talk about that rookie. I got him in my notes. Stacking good plays. Stacking good electric plays. Developmental rookie. Nah, not so fast. Not so fast, my friends. Lee Corso. Keep getting all these corners hurt. He might be playing. Now, the tape's not consistent. Really bad against the run game. Doesn't fit outside well. Peaks inside too often. But special teams, relentless, dude. Like consistently where he needs to be, tough as hell. The pass breakups, the plays on the ball, playing with confidence, the length. I like it right here. Stefan, J.K. Scott was worse than number 31 at kickoff coverage. There we go. I love it. Yeah, that was hilarious. And yeah, you can't cut Garrett Wallow. You cannot do it. Ben says Wallow's not making it unless Martin's injury is more than 2 weeks. I'm telling you right now, Garrett Wallow ain't getting cut. He ain't getting cut. He backs up all 3 linebacker spots. Stud special teamer. Dude, won you a playoff game. Wallow ain't getting cut. Nope. I will not stand for it. I would cut. Oh, I don't like this. I don't like this. I'm not cutting Nick Martin. I'm not cutting Garrett Wallow. Definitely ain't cutting Jaden Duggar. I want him starting. Can't cut Luke Gifford. I would cut Tatum Bethune before I'd cut Garrett Wallow. And I love Tatum Bethune. I love the development he's done. I'm keeping Garrett Wallow over Tatum Bethune because Tatum Bethune is just a mic. I don't have him playing anywhere else. He's made a huge advantage in special teams and stepped up. He suplexed a guy. That penalty, man, go watch the tape. He literally picks a dude up on punt return and slams the dude. Can't do that. That was a penalty. But Tatum Bethune's awesome. You just spoils. Like, Johnny Holland and KJ Wright, they are the best positional coaches on this team. The development of all these guys has been unbelievable. And it's been that way since Kyle Shanahan and them showed up. Now, Johnny Holland's been here forever, but dude, you got to trade a linebacker. You got to trade a linebacker. Package, and I don't care which one you trade if you get something back. Trade Nick Martin. I don't want to trade Nick Martin, but he has the highest upside of everybody that's not Fred Warner or Dre Greenlaw. Nick Martin, Jaden Duggar, elite upside. Like, you're talking unbelievable upside. Garrett Wallace, what he is, but dude, he's just playing golf with a 7-iron. You're just going to always get what you need. Always. Can do everything. Can do it all. But the ceiling's not there. Luke Gifford, Pro Bowl special teamers, those do not grow on trees. Now, if you trade Luke Gifford, I would be disappointed, but I would understand. If you traded Luke Gifford and a 6th for a 5th rounder so that Tatum Bethune makes the 53, I'm in. If you traded Nick Martin and a 5th rounder to get a 4th, Nick Martin and a 5th to get a 3rd. No, you can't do that. Nick Martin and a 6th to get a 4th. That's the trade. Nick Martin and a 6th rounder to get a 4th rounder. I would do that if that means you get a key. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, the idea of trading Nick Martin and a 6th rounder to get a 4th back, I don't like. The upside's so huge there. But if that lets me keep Tatum Bethune, then I'm like, sign me up. Yeah, it's hard in there, bro. That one's rough. Yeah, right here. Yeah, trade Bethune if you can. Yeah, like, somebody give us a 7th for Tatum. Give us a 6th. That would be ideal. Package Tatum and a 7th for a 6th. Yeah, sign me up. I'm in. Somebody need, like, Tatum's too good. You can't cut these guys. You have this wealth of talent at the freaking linebacker position. I haven't even mentioned Larry Worth Jr., but like, oh, you can't keep 7. Not with this roster. You're going to struggle to keep 6. Yeah. Trade Bethune to Houston or Tennessee. I'm in. They're going to put Martin on IR. He might be one of those IR designated to return guys. That would allow you to finagle the spots. So that's there. Yeah, I'm not sure. And not sure what they're going to do there. Shanahan does this every year where he mysterious injury pops up and oh, that player's on IR. Like, you got to do the roster shenanigans, Shanahanians, to get this group there. Monitor. I'd cut Martin before Wallow. I'd cut Valdez before I would cut Easton. Dude, Martin has such a high ceiling. It is there. You see it. It's not there now. Potential just means you ain't done it yet. But, like, the ceiling play is Nick Martin. Garrett Wall is fun. I want both. I'm like radio. What type of pie you want? I want both. I want them both. Ben, right? I could talk linebackers all day, by the way. Ben, Bethune was good last season, and now he looks even better. Can't cut that. You can't. But you can't keep 7. You can't keep 7. Yeah, this is hard. And, dude, these are the exact same fights that happen in the personnel room. GM wants to keep one guy. Coach wants to keep somebody. Position coach somebody else. The scout, which scout's probably not having that much of a contribution in this conversation. But there's going to be different guys that are like, dude, you can't cut him. Well, we can't cut him either. Well, what about this? Can't cut him. We can't keep everybody. We got to keep one. Everybody vote. Write down a name. Who do you want to keep? Most votes stays. No, Kyle Shanahan's just going to keep whoever the hell he wants. He don't give a shit what I'm going to say. This is not a democracy. King of the castle. That's Kyle Shanahan right there. Sir Kaiser, I think Nick Martin is the biggest trade cut person. Yeah. dude, I'm loving this. Hangover Rain Man gift. That's right, man. Shanahanigans. Oh, that's good, Jacob. That's hard to say. Shanahanigans. Dude, I might have to like program myself to say that because it's hard. Jan, I don't trust a linebacker with concussion issues. He plays so damn hard. It makes sense. Right here, what's a team that got a lot of hurt linebackers? I don't know. I feel bad because I haven't watched any preseason tape today because I've just been breaking down tape here. I'm not even helping the wife build furniture. I might get in trouble. She built end tables today in our new place. I did not help at all. Now, I built all the furniture up to this point, but I was like, baby, I got work all day. And she was awesome. She's happy about it. We'll see if she's happy about it after this show. We shall see. If you don't hear from me, you'll hear from me. right here, Nick Martin for D-Winners. Oh, how dare you, Dan. Right here, is Nick Martin a good special teamer? Yeah, he's badass. Can he replace Gifford? No. Luke Gifford is one of the top 3 to 5 special teams players in the NFL. Nick Martin looks really, really good, and he consistently does a good job. Luke Gifford is that damn good. Like, I am not cutting Luke Gifford. I am not. If I had, like, if you, John Chapman, you got to cut Nick Martin or Luke Gifford. I'm not cutting Luke Gifford. I'm not. I know what I got. Special teams means too much to me. I'm not doing it. Not doing it. Matt, look at this. This guy's cross-platform streaming. What a pro. Oh, salute. Only took us 1,701 episodes. I think it's 1,702. Yeah, 1,702 episodes to figure things out, and I'm still wrong. Like, I'm in the new place. Look at this. I got the dots right here. I ordered a curtain. I haven't been able to put it up yet. I got to put it up soon. This is my first time doing a show at 4:55, and now the sun's, like, right there. I don't like that. We're still figuring things out. It's there. What's up, Captain? Appreciate you, Humor. You are awesome. Right here. Yeah. Ari, 49ers won a lot of games with Banks in school, and that's the Chris Forrester way. Give me guys that are average. We can make it work. The Kyle Shanahan offense makes it easy for offensive line and quarterbacks. Running backs as well. Those three. The Kyle Shanahan scheme makes it difficult on wide receivers, tight ends, fullbacks, and centers. You can throw in center because you got to know, because the quarterbacks don't make the audibles. They just they flip the play or switch the play. They don't adjust protections. The center does that, right? So, that's kind of the way it goes. So you can get by with guards, and that's why they don't pay. That's why they don't pay them. 49ers will let guards go. They will let safeties go. They just do not value those positions. For better or worse, so help us, it's what it is. Now, if you guys go to any traveling games, come party with us. And we've got the home game tailgate up as well for the season opener against the Dolphins. Go get your tickets now, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its 6th year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Oh, look at this, Ari, coming through. I think you see my notes. My last note here was about the safeties, namely the starting safeties, and they played a decent amount. What was their snap count? Let me pull this up so that I can get this correct. Because the safety stayed out there. Jair Brown and my man, where's he at? Let's see here. Jair Brown played 17 snaps. And, yeah. Marquise Eagle played 17 snaps, but it was like 3 series because the Chargers couldn't get anything going. And so they were taking snaps into the second quarter. I was very pleased. There, even like I wanted to make sure, and you can go watch this, the 49ersrush.com, sign up, Patreon page, it's up on there. You can see all 3 quarters are up. They were always where they should be. That was huge. They were not out of place on the post crossers, you know, deeper than the deepest, anticipating where they should be. There was once or twice where, like, I thought maybe Jair Brown could have done this or whatever else, but, like, small minor, not assignment blowns, no missed offs, none of that stuff. They did what they had to do, and Jair Brown tackled well, filled the alley well. Now, I will say this. My favorite thing was Marquis Siegel taking about three reads away. Doesn't show up in the stat sheet, right? Doesn't even show on the broadcast angle. You can't even see it. 36 ain't even in frame, right? But then you go through the tape and you see the quarterback look at, you know, this corner route or this deep comeback, and 36 is just sitting on it. Marquis Siegel always where he's supposed to be. But now, man, instead of, you know, being where he needs to be and just not making a play, he's forcing the quarterback to look elsewhere. Like, that is the involvement of second-year player Marquis Siegel, where quarterback looks up, that's his read, oh, I can't do that, Marquis Siegel's in my way. Like, that's awesome. Doesn't show up on the stat sheet. Doesn't even show up on the broadcast screen, so you don't even know anything about it. But then you turn on coach's tape, and it's like, ooh, 3-6. Force the quarterback off his read. And he did it with pretty much every damn quarterback he played with. Did it the first series, did it the second series, third series. Like, I walked away with a little bit more confidence in the safeties. Now, the safeties are the same safeties that got their asses kicked in that, you know, joint practice. But, dude, when the lights came on and it was game time, what's up, baby? Getting it done. So, I like that. I like that. Oh, look at this. We got a fantasy football question. It is that time. My email is stocked full with these. Dan, faithful, I need to pick a keeper. Saquon, Jeanty. Both would cost me a second rounder, but I'm the last pick in the second rounder. Well, if it's long-term keepers, you keep Jeanty. He's so much younger. Saquon, probably going to have a better year, but like I'd keep Saquon if it's a one-year. Jeanty, if it's multiple years, like if you can keep keeping the player for that draft capital. But yeah, Jeanty, I'd lean Jeanty. 1 year only. I think Saquon has a better year. It's hard to get touchdowns with the tush push there, but Saquon's just a better player. Way better player. So deal with that what you will. A couple other just updates just that I have stashed away on my notes. Jacob Cowing, way better blocker than Jordan Watkins. I thought that was kind of strange. But Jacob Cowing just wants it more. He's way smaller, but man. And Jordan Watkins, huge uptick in blocking in the second and third quarter. Still a lot of misses. He just does not like contact. Really it doesn't at all. Austin Pleasant's not a guard. And my favorite quote from today's press conference, I really like Kalen Black. Neo, he's growing on me. He's going to buck the trend of third-round Kyle Shanahan running backs. Shanahanigans, he's finally going to play out, which I like. The quote from Kalen Black today, oh, I'm not trying to poke fun. I thought it was awesome. He said, quote, I am not – I'm going to mess it up. Let me start back over. Quote, I'm a man of not much words, end quote. Badass. Like, I want that on a shirt. I'm a man of not much words. Kalen Black. I am excited to see him and Jordan James go out there. Oh, I like Kalen Black, dude. Farscape. What happened? What is that? He's beginning to believe. What if he makes it on the first jump? Nobody makes the first jump. Kalen Black might. Kalen Black might. Neo, baby. You guys are the best of the best. One final reminder. Next Saturday, make sure you join us for our Zoom hangout. Right now, this show is wrapping up. Go sign up the 49ersrush.com or our Patreon channel. 7 days free. Just watch the film breakdowns. Join us for the Zoom hangout this Saturday and cancel afterwards. No hard feelings. But if you like it, stick around. Everybody, the show is done. I appreciate you guys. You're my favorite. Go sign up. Support the show or not for free. And then cancel afterwards. Won't cost you a penny. Till next time, you are the best. Stay strong, faithful. We out.